Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 432 for Sunday, September 11th, 2016, are Eric Anderson.
Hey, folks.
Kevin Bentley.
Good evening.
And Chad King.
Hello, everyone.
Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about Disney vacation-related emotional extremes, you know, those most exciting, most embarrassing, sometimes just plain weird reactions that seem to come out of that emotionally overwhelming experience sometimes that is a Disney vacation. Before we get into that fun, though, I do want to take a minute and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. And just a thing to highlight here, I would encourage you, when you go visit mousemastertravel.com, check out their new box there on the right side of the screen. It's got special deals and things like that going on, and they have an exclusive spring break offer going. I was just peeking at it earlier this afternoon and noticed that they've got, for example, some rooms available at Beach Club over spring break that they don't exist in Disney inventory anymore. You can't book them except through this kind of a deal. So give a look. If that's something you're interested in, give them a call. They'd love to help you out. You know, I think we've all kind of experienced this in one way or another. Disney vacations kind of either trigger or sort of cause the release of, you know, pent-up big emotions, I think it would be the way I would put it. We've all watched the videos of surprises where the excited kid is gets the news and breaks down crying instead of cheering, you know, all those kinds of things that happen. And we wanted to kind of collect some of those together because I think a lot of times, you know, they kind of all share some of the same sources. So, you know, Chad, when we were talking before we started recording, you seemed to have, spent some time with your family, mining your collective memories. Sounded like you had some good stuff for us. So why don't you get us rolling?
All right. Well, I'll tell you one of my great stories. So the very last morning of our first trip to Disney, my daughter was four. We were walking from one of the outer buildings at Grand Floridian, where we were staying, to the main building for breakfast. And we happened upon something I've never seen since, but it was the housekeeping parade. And all the housekeepers were about to march around the kind of square of Grand Floridian, and they grabbed my daughter and said, "How about you lead the parade?" And they gave her a pink umbrella, and they walked her around the outside, and they kind of, wouldn't say they sang and danced, but they kind of had a little parade that all the housekeepers went through before they went to work, and then they walked her into the main building, and there was somebody inside that wrote her name on the umbrella and drew some art on it, and it was just, you know, a really unique experience that we've never seen since, and she got to lead the housekeeping parade.
Wow. And I can just imagine the look on her face as she's, you know, presented with this unique souvenir with her, you know, and given a pen to sign it and everything, just like the characters who'd been signing, you know, her autograph book up until that point.
Yeah, they actually used like a silver Sharpie, so it kind of stood out on the pink umbrella. We still have the umbrella, and we talk about it today. That was just, you know, a different experience. And I think what's great about that is this cost Disney nothing, you know, a $7 umbrella, right? I mean, there's no expense to this, and but people watched the parade. There were other people that were like cheering on the housekeepers, and then they went to work and cleaned some rooms.
Okay. Very cool. So, you know, that's a heck of a way to kind of get that last emotional rush of the trip in a totally unexpected way. All right. So, Kevin, how about you? What's one of those kind of unique sort of emotionally charged moments that you've experienced from a Disney vacation?
Well, I'd have to, let's set the stage on this one. It was this one happened to be a Disney cruise. And my wife and I were at the Future Cruise Desk. just sitting there totally absorbed and talking and looking at discussing, well, do we want to book in advance for another one or not, that kind of thing, and not really aware of what's going on around us, which is totally unusual for us because normally we're watching a couple of kids when we go to Disney, so we're always, you know, keeping an eye on everything. So it's just the two of us, and Belle comes wandering by, just walking by, you know, and then next thing I know, she pulls up a chair, sits down. Her and my wife start talking about books and libraries, and it's probably been one of my favorite memories from Disney that, you know, you just can't pay for. I mean, there was absolutely no cost involved, and other than some time with the character and just the personal one-on-one, even though it was just adults, no kids, it was really kind of fun and unique and blew my mind.
All right. Sounds good. Another one of those kind of happenstance moments that you can't even really plan for. It just sort of... You know, you find yourself in the midst of it. How about you, Eric? Is there something that comes to mind as we're talking about these, you know, that you can think of from your experience?
Yeah, I think the one that stands out a lot for me is a little bit of pixie dust that happened on our first family trip down to Walt Disney World. We had a reservation at the Polynesian, and I was not as steeped in, you know, how to do Disney at this point. So I'd just gotten, you know, a garden view room, didn't really know where we'd end up. But just made the reservation. We were there a few hours, I guess, before they say that check-in time is. So I guess check-in time is like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, depending on the resort, 3 or 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were waiting around, no room, and it got to be, you know, creeping up on that time, and just trying to, you know, get some idea of how long it was going to be. We just had my older daughter, who was at that point almost 4, but and she was, you know, basically hanging out in one of the shops at the Poly. Playing with stuffed animals while we just kind of waited around because we didn't want to undertake anything that would take us away because we had luggage to deal with, all that stuff.
Right.
So they finally got us a room and gave us directions. And so we were walking out and pretty long walk and never figured it was a garden view room. So we were trying to pick out where we might end up. Get in, open the door to the room, and we're looking out the balcony at the castle straight in front of us across the Seven Seas Lagoon. So, so not quite a garden view room, but really nice. I don't know whether it was because we had to wait or just because they took pity on us for not booking a fancier room to begin with, but it was really just a bit of a pixie dust that kind of upsold us for future vacations. So, you know, right. Couldn't really
kind of
step back from that
going
next
forward.
Year. Right. So they made up their money on us later.
All right. So there's a nice one, a great, you know, Disney surprise with the totally unexpected. And the funny part about that one is, you know, I've seen this kind of thing happen before at the front desk, and usually, you know, a cast member will come back and say, oh, we've got a little bit of pixie dust for you or something like that, and you know, explain what you're about to walk into. And it sounds like in your case, they totally set you up, right? I mean, they let you go just figuring you were going to go into your regular garden view room, and instead you had that, you know, straight-on view of the castle.
Yeah, it might have been obvious to somebody who had a little more experience, but like I said, I was kind of ignorant about the sort of stuff back then.
Right, sure. I mean, I think I'll even step back to sort of the first kind of Disney moment of you know, my family's memory collectively, and that is that our very first Disney trip was actually, like, it was more than that. Our first trip, we did everything, right? We did all the Orlando stuff all at once. So we did Universal and we did Disney. And one of the reasons we did that is that my daughter was a huge Harry Potter fan. And so, you know, we had all this stuff planned and we were in super stealth mode. I mean, if you're a longtime listener to the podcast, you've heard me talk about this way back when we did our surprises episode. But, I mean, it almost got to the point where I was playing games with it. It was kind of obnoxious, you know, because I knew this secret and the kids didn't know it and Miriam knew it, but the kids didn't know it. And so there were little things like, you know, the kids were young enough that they hadn't really done much attraction riding of any kind, right? Amusement park stuff. They hadn't really done much of that. So for the almost 6 months or so before the trip, we kind of had made a point of visiting opportunities for them to try different kinds of rides so we could kind of gauge what their reaction would be when they got to Walt Disney World. And so, you know, I played all kinds of little subtle games, including when we went to Mall of America and did the indoor amusement park there in the mall. You know, the parking deck there uses states as designations for the levels because it's huge. And, you know, we were there early in the morning. We could have parked anywhere. I decided to just grab a spot on the Florida level. Nobody thought anything of it. I thought it was hilarious. Nobody else thought anything of it at all. So
I'm laughing.
Huh?
I said, I'm laughing. I think that's good.
Well, and so the thing is that at this point, it's almost built up bigger in my head than it is, you know, anywhere else, because obviously nobody else is in on the joke yet. Other than my wife. And we're taking our trip and we're going to take that early flight. Chad, you know this flight, the early Southwest flight. That's the you know, morning direct flight from Kansas City to Orlando. It's gone back and forth over time, but it's, you know, usually it's about a 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. flight. So 6 a.m. flight, I think it might have even split the difference back then. So it was like at 6:30, but you know, 6:30 flight, flying with two young kids, you've got to be at the airport at like 4:30 in the morning, and it's 45-minute drive from where we live. So it's, you know, getting up, everybody up to get them out of the house at 3:30 in the morning. So we go, and I had all this planned out, and we even had a camera set up for it so that we could get the reaction, wake up my daughter to let her know that, you know, as part of her birthday celebration, that we're going to, you know, going to Walt Disney World. And she wakes up and we tell her what's happening. And we were all ready for this excited reaction, which we did eventually get, but we were all ready for this excited reaction. And her initial reaction was, why am I awake? You know, it was just like this dead thing. And I was freaking out that I'd wasted all this time and energy and everything. So eventually we got the excited reaction we were hoping for. And, you know, she instantly said she'd always wanted to go, which she'd never told us, interestingly enough. But it kind of set the tone in some ways for that trip, that first trip, because it was a lot of, probably because it was all new to us, a lot of sort of big, like, almost pregnant pauses before the big emotional reaction, just because people needed a moment to kind of drink it all in. And it kind of happened to us several times. And so we'll come back to a couple other examples of that on that same trip, that fall, you know, at both ends of the spectrum, both of the most embarrassing and most exciting things that we'd experienced. So who else has a you know, fun, unusual, odd experience that they want to share from their Disney, you know, from their bag of memories, so to speak?
I can give you one that's just kind of embarrassing.
Okay.
So again, this is our first trip with my older daughter, who was then, like I said, almost four. She was pretty much potty trained, but she was still wearing pull-ups at the time, and we were at Crystal Palace, and all the Winnie the Pooh characters were coming around, and she gets up to go to the bathroom, and she's wearing a dress. She comes back. Tigger comes by. She gets very excited to see Tigger, flops down on the floor. Turns out she wasn't wearing a pull-up at that point for some reason.
Oh my.
And so Flash is Tigger. Tigger looks at me, you know, hands over eyes. Get my daughter, you know, kind of upright and covered again. But it was just one of those moments when, what can you do but laugh? But now that she's a tween, I'm going to make sure to play this podcast for her just to, keep her humble.
I recommend streaming.
Perfect.
All right. So Kevin, you have an experience to add to this cavalcade?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it may qualify, but we're going to go back to 1997, a few years back there in history. This would be Christmas. We're there at Christmas time. We had family down there, so we kind of visited family, then spent some time at Disney World. And we had two children that we had just finalized adoption on. And they were 4 and 6 at the time, so they were still little tykes. And I was still recovering from bad auto accident. So we have my wife, who is pushing me around in a wheelchair all the time and trying to keep a hold of two young ones, you know, that are running here, there, and everywhere. And it was late at night, and it was Disney Spectral Magic Parade, and Peter Pan was coming by, my son's favorite character, and my son was tired and hot and cranky and fussy, and Peter Pan just came over, took his hand, looked at him, and said, "You can't cry here. This is the happiest place on earth." And he shut right up. Just right then and there. And you know what? We used that many times in the future. And to this day, my wife and I, as we walk around and we see a little kid starting to get a little fussy or not, you know, we'll go up and say, you know, "You can't cry here. It's the happiest place on earth." And it just, 9 times out of the kid will look at you and it just, you know, okay.
Right. Well, yeah, no, it's funny. I mean, you mentioned that, and I've got a similar story from that same first trip, because as I mentioned, that was my daughter's birthday celebration. And so, you know, the lead up to all of this for her was that we did dinner at Ocker's House, because, you know, she could do all the princesses there, and they had availability on her birthday, you know, on that day. But it was also the first trip that I'd planned. And so our timing was maybe not as good as it should have been. And that day ended up being really kind of a long day, longer than it should have been. And, you know, that I planned the dinner starting a little bit later than I should have, which began our somewhat long history. I mean, I think we tried to see Illuminations like 4 times before it actually happened. But this trip was, you know, the beginning of that difficulty. And so we go to dinner, and the dinner worked perfectly. I mean, she loved every minute of it. She got to meet all the princesses. My son, who normally doesn't like to interact with characters at all, was, you know, not wanting really to you know, meet the princesses and everything, but was well behaved and kind of animated about it. That's I've posted a couple of times the picture of him sticking his tongue out at the princesses. Because, you know, that's the way 4-year-old boys react towards princesses sometimes. But, you know, for my daughter, it was heaven. I mean, it was the best, most amazing thing in the world. We walk out of the restaurant at, like, you know, 6:45, 6:20. We're going to try or maybe it must have been later than that, because it was starting to get to the point where we wanted to grab a spot for Illuminations. We start to walk out to grab a spot for Illuminations, and it's almost like as we walked kind of through an invisible barrier that was right at the edge of the Norway Pavilion, as you walk from there to kind of the walkway and you've walked out and away from the pavilion, she just lost it. I mean, tears, flowing, sobbing tears. And we'd say, "What's wrong? She couldn't articulate it. She couldn't figure out what was wrong. Finally, the only thing she could come up with was that she missed the dog. And that's why she was upset, because she had had such a wonderful birthday dinner, but she missed the dog. I don't think that was really it. Now, meanwhile, you know, a cast member literally sees us walking by because we were away from the pavilions and, you know, heading back towards Future World, figuring we just got to get this poor kid back to the resort because she must be just exhausted. Cast member kind of swoops in out of nowhere, similar experience that Kevin had with Peter Pan, and just says, you know, hey, nothing can be that bad. You know, you're in the happiest, you know, happiest place. There's no reason for this. Gives her a really cool princess pin, and it didn't solve it completely, but it gave her a chance. I think if nothing else, it kind of caught her, you know, shocked her a little bit that somebody was paying attention and noticing. And the pin was cool, and so it distracted her a little bit, and she kind of was able to collect herself a little more. Now, we still headed back to the resort because she was clearly exhausted. She was done. But, you know, it was one of those, it's that oversized emotional reaction that sometimes you just can't help, because there is such emotional and sensory overload sometimes. And it's not really even a bad thing. It just, it can be this sort of overwhelming wave. All right.
I love that she missed the dog. That's that's a great way for her to be like...
Who, you know, I mean... At that point, yeah, it was just, I can't really decide if that was even really part of the calculus in her head or if it was just what she could come up with.
Yeah, she was exhausted and that was like the only thing she could think of, but right. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, so anybody else have you know, one of those moments that just kind of stands out from a previous trip?
Well, I'm going to take you all the way back to 1980, because this is an old family story, and it's embarrassing for me. So I went when I was probably 4 years old to Disney, my only trip as a child. And, you know, it's an old family joke that I'm the reason that Disney has handlers for characters, because... we were walking through Main Street and Mickey was going wherever he was going. And I screamed out, "Mickey!" And I ran and tackled Mickey Mouse in Main Street. And, so it's an old family story that I'm the reason that the characters have handlers and designated meet and greet places, because I tackled Mickey Mouse in the middle of Main Street. So,
'cause you broke Mickey.
Well, I did not, you know, break him, but I did startle and tackle Mickey Mouse, so.
Yeah. As far as you know, you didn't. I think they were just protecting you.
So, it's one of those things that comes up every couple of years at a family meeting. Well, you're the one that tackled Mickey Mouse, so.
Yeah, that's my son tried to do that with Stitch. Yeah, I think that's but it's definitely, it's that same thing, right? You're so overamped on the adrenaline that, by God, you're going and nothing's going to stop you.
I think that was it, so.
All right, so you have anything else for us, Eric?
I can think of one thing that was really heartwarming for me was, again, on our first trip, we went to Cinderella's Royal Table. And there's that meet and greet with Cinderella before you go up to dinner.
Right.
And this is my daughter's first princess experience. She was very excited. She goes up, talks to Cinderella, gets her picture taken, all of that. We go up, have dinner. We come back down. We're just walking down the stairs. And my daughter is still staring at, you know, Cinderella across the room because she's still kind of awestruck. And as we're heading down and out, I hear, you know, Cinderella say, you know, bye, in my daughter's name, which I just thought was just such an incredible feat of memory and just such a random occurrence. Just that it had worked out just so that Cinderella's attention was on my daughter at that time.
Right.
Just to show that how engaged these characters really are with what they're doing. I mean, you've got to think that they see hundreds of kids a day. And, you know, if it were me, I would forget everybody's name within about 0.7 seconds
right.
after they leave. But yeah, I just thought it was really an amazing thing. And my daughter was continued to be awestruck after that.
You know, it's funny. One of the guys, and I forget who it was now, tells a story of, you know, going to, I forget exactly the, you know, which ones came first and all that, but basically, you know, going to two different experiences where they got to meet Cinderella, and just being blown away because it happened that Cinderella, the second time they met her, remembered the kid's name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and was able to pull out, you know, I mean, out of all of these kids lined up to come meet Cinderella, you know, to say, oh, princess, it's so wonderful to see you again. And you know, I mean, it almost gives me chills now just thinking it, because it's that kind of thing that, like you just said, I mean, they meet thousands of kids a day. To remember a specific kid, to be able to communicate with the kid something that at least, you know, look, whether she really remembered details or not, who knows, but she was able to communicate enough that the kid felt like she did. And
well, we've had that experience with Ariel, seeing Ariel at the grotto and then at Cinderella's Royal Table, where she said, I saw you earlier at my grotto. So,
And
that's, you know, and that's like two different places, different outfits. That's impressive on their part. So,
yeah,
it, you know, blows your kid's mind that, like, whoa,
they are real.
So I guess I'll share, you know, a bit of an embarrassing one for me. And luckily, it wasn't too publicly embarrassing. It was just mostly privately embarrassing. And that is that, you know, when I took the first time I took a Disney cruise, it happened to coincide with the NCAA basketball tournament. And for anybody who hasn't picked up on it in the past, or I haven't mentioned it before, I'm a huge Kansas Jayhawks basketball fan. I'm a KU grad. I've attended Final Fours, you know, to watch them in a Final Four before. Tournament time is almost a religious experience for me. I mean, you know, when I was working for other people, you know, the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament back in the day when, you know, you could actually watch all the games, right? You know, I used to take 2 days off of work. I would burn vacation time for the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's how obsessive I am about it. And I was a little conflicted, honestly, that we were taking this first cruise and it was during the tournament. But it just so happened that it was kind of a down year for the Jayhawks that year. Nobody really expected them to do anything in the tournament, maybe even a little surprised that you know, they'd gotten seated the way they had. Anyway, long and short of it is that it just so happened that they made a really improbable run while we were on this cruise. And I was able to watch those games from, you know, the pub on Disney Fantasy. And so that's kind of the first piece of backstory. The second piece of backstory is that I was really nervous, and so was my wife, about our first cruise because we were concerned about seasickness and all of that. And we used the scopolamine patches behind the ear, worked great, didn't really have any problem at all. And, you know, I kept telling my wife, oh, you know, we're fine. I'm not having any problems at all. You're not having problems. Great. So I'm in the pub watching the basketball games and we're on the cruise and around. And so after they won and unexpectedly, like it was surprising enough when they won the first game of that weekend and, you know, advanced into the Sweet 16. But then they won again to get into the Elite Eight. And I was celebrating with some of the other fans whose teams had advanced in the pub. And so I got back to the room maybe in less good condition than I expected to. And actually had to admit later to my wife that I had gotten sick on the ship. but that I had to be, you know, embarrassedly admit that it was, you know, probably not the cruise ship's fault. But I'm going to blame the bartender at O'Grady's because, you know, I can't be blamed if I'm celebrating an Elite Eight advance, right?
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Yeah.
So just mildly embarrassing there, that I was the one after all of that about my wife being concerned about being seasick and about, you know, oh, it's not a big deal. Yeah, I was the one who got sick. All right. Anybody else have stories of fun, excitement, embarrassment, any of the above?
No, I think I can follow along with the embarrassment and ECL. And hopefully my daughter's not listening right now, so I can say this one. but we just managed to catch a short 3-day cruise. We've never taken a short one before, so we had had a pretty rough time up in that point. And I said, okay, well, let's just go take a break. Everybody needed to take a break, so we get down there, and we're out, and it's a little bit rough and a little bit wet. We just came inside off of the pool deck, and you go right into the doors from towards the back, the rear elevators, and the elevators are right there. The floor's all solid. It's not carpet or anything. And my daughter comes in, her feet are wet, and she just goes flat on her rear, feet first, and slides right into the elevator.
Ouch.
I mean, we laugh at it now, but that was a cruise that right before the cruise, my wife has sprained her ankle, so she's doing the cruise on a crutch, and my daughter ends up slipping and falling, and she hurt a little bit, so she was kind of taking it easy. So we're like the walking wounded coming off the ship at the end of 3 days. But, you know, they look back and look at it now and laugh at it, but, you know, and that's what it takes sometimes, I think, is you look back at even the embarrassing memories, as you look back at them through the haze of the memory and the light of the past, and you're actually able to sit down and just laugh at them, even though you might not have been able to in the moment, you know, and being able to go over these and share these with everybody, it feels good. I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me how many of the stories that really stick with us are first trip stories. I'm curious as to whether anybody has a fresher story that holds up, or if it really is something about those first trips that makes those memories sort of stand out as the most powerful and the most extreme.
Well, it's not our most recent trip, but I have one we kind of still talk about that it's just kind of a silly story. We had a trip a few years ago where we saw this family of four that we happened upon four, maybe five times during the same trip, where we happened to be at the same park with this other family. So their trip kind of coincided with ours. But, and even a couple of times we happened to be at rope drop with these people. But as soon as the rope dropped, these people took off. Like, they were running. And so, but we saw them a few times during the day. And like I said, we saw them like five times during a trip, and they were always running from ride to ride. And they were like, we are going to get the most out of this vacation, and we're going to get the most out every day, and we're going to get every ride in, and we're going to do. And so, you know, I mean, for those who've listened to me talk, I mean, we're a pretty go family. We do a lot in a vacation, but we laugh at this runners that these people were running the entire vacation. Like, they were like, okay, we're getting to this ride, we're going to ride it, and then we're going to run to the next. We're going to run. So,
now see, that sounds like me from the first trip. You know, when we were still doing the paper fast passes, and you know, doing the dash from, Tomorrowland to Frontierland and back, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's dad dashes from Frontierland and leave everybody else. But this was an entire family of four just taken off the entire time. So it's just kind of one of those funny things where we're like, well, there's the runners. So we had a good time watching these people just run around the park. So
doing the park commando style.
It was crazy. They were going.
Yeah, see, we never would have lasted very long doing it that way.
Well, and who knows? I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, maybe they were done at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They went back and took a power nap and then came back for, you know, fireworks, whatever. It was just funny. We saw them and they were like, oh, there they are. Then as soon as the rope dropped, they took off. So
right, right. All right. Anybody else have anything particularly interesting, fun, unique, exciting experiences that they wanted to share? Well, you know, one of the reasons that this topic kind of perked its way back to the top of the hopper, because we've talked about some of these kinds of things before, but, you know, when we went looking for topics for this next round, this is one of those ones where it seemed like everybody had a story or two, and we'd love if this became a trigger point, really, for people to share, you know, some more of their own stories. We asked earlier if, you know, people want to send their own in, they want to send in audio clips, you want to record something on your phone and you know, email that file to podcast@dizdads.com. I'd love to be able to compile some and you know, add them on either as an additional episode or as comments to the episode or something, to just to share some of these stories, because this is the kind of stuff that I think that kind of fuels all of us in a lot of ways. It's the thing that kind of keeps us coming back, is the opportunity to kind of revisit these kinds of memories, and it's made all the more richer when, you know, we share them with each other. So, like with everything else, you know, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, as I said, at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit the blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Eric Anderson.
Bye, folks.
Kevin Bentley.
Good evening, everyone.
And Chad King.
Hey, thanks for tuning in.